Hello, friends. Thank you so much for listening in. This is a brand new podcast creation from myself, Sarah Harney, along with my longtime collaborator now, the incredible Emma Holdsworth. And before we dive in, I want to acknowledge that this podcast conversation was recorded on Kaurna country and acknowledge the traditional custodians of this land and honour their deep and long traditions and history of storytelling and coming together to support each other in circle, in community, especially as women and mothers. We are on unceded land. It is also my privilege and honour to welcome you today to this podcast conversation. We're calling this Held Chats. It is a new branch of our creation, Emma and I, at Held Retreats, which is our year-long group experience that we ran for the first time last year. And we are gearing up to run again this year in our new Mother's Year structure of May to February of next year. And there's more information about that you can find in all of our linky places. Firstly, if you don't know Emma or I am Sarah Harney. I am a coach, consultant, a mentor, an audio producer. I offer creative coaching, guidance, and support for creatives and visionaries. I'm also a writer and a storyteller, and my offerings are always full of pep talks and permission slips. And of course, I am joined by and in collaboration with Emma Holdsworth. Emma is otherwise known as the mental health doula. She combines counseling, nurturing, and parent education to take good care of mothers and caregivers so that they can take good care of their babies, kids, and families. And so the conversation that you're about to hear, I hope that you get something out of it. I hope that it sparks something for you. But for now, let's dive into this held chat. Hello there. Thank you so much for tuning in to our podcast.
This is Held Chats, where one of us brings a conundrum or question.
I also will say that this is, I wouldn't say that it's explicit in nature, but we do swear. So if you have little ears around, it might be one for headphones. Some adult themes occasionally.
Occasional not like adult sexy. Themes.
I mean, who knows? But like, basically, I swear sometimes. So if you have an issue with that. So
for today's episode, Sarah is going to bring the conundrum or question, and I am going to give her the support that she deserves. I don't know what her question is, as we said in the intro, unscripted and unpracticed. So, Sarah, what's going on?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I was thinking about this on the way over here, and it was a great effort to not ask you before we started recording how to pick, because in true Sarah style, it's the morning. I have now had my coffee and my delightful array of medication, and I'm feeling jittery and stretched and a bit all over the place, but maybe that's the question or that's the stuck feeling of where to begin. So the main things that are coming up for me at the moment, kind of landing a little bit similarly to you around energy and momentum and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But for me, it digs probably more into capacity.
Okay.
And so then I feel like the pressing thing is either my feelings around my care schedule with my gorgeous little one and my co-parent, and like picking daycare days and making plans for term two, and like that feeling of honoring capacity and work and ideas and economic crisis, and also honoring time with my child. So that feels like kind of the most like heart hurting Emma themed question. And then the kind of like side piece, which maybe it's actually all the one thing, as sometimes happens, is that feeling around, I'm putting a lot of pressure on myself at the moment around work and my ideas and my offerings, in terms of should I just be doing something more responsible or more logical or more financially stable. And I just realized I'm doing air quotes for anyone that's just listening, of like all that kind of the pressure that you sometimes feel either outwardly, as in people actually say it, or internally or socially as a creative business owner, of things are getting a little tight, things are getting more challenging as a entrepreneur. Yeah. Is it irresponsible, in inverted commas, to pursue big ideas versus, you know, but again, as we always say, like get a job or do one small thing. You still got to market lots of small things.
Yeah. That doesn't disappear.
So they kind of are connected in the sense of like, and I can tell you about the specifics of some of the care stuff I'm trying to figure out, is, yeah, capacity, time, effort, work, cash flow, you know, it's all, you know, and also that feeling I think I have now, again, for anyone who doesn't know, my little one is nearly three, which is bonkers, of I'm a mother now and I'm a co-parented but solo mother and self-employed and in a rental crisis, et cetera. It feels even more like, you know, tricky to be courageous in your ideas or courageous in your business running. So, yeah, it's somewhere in there.
Okay. Tell me more about capacity. What do you actually mean when you say capacity? Because you said it lots of times.
I think I have clung onto that word more often in the last kind of year or so, probably since I got my ADHD diagnosis. I think it was I thought it was a bit of a buzzword before or something that didn't apply to me because I have such bursts of, I almost said severe creativity and productivity, but these bursts of action and these bursts of like, I can do something in a night or in a block of time that some people would look at that and think, oh my goodness, that would have taken me 2 weeks or something. Like if I get on something, particularly something to make, whether it's a physical making or a website or an audio series or like a digital making.
Yeah.
And so if I'm on and I'm into it and I'm, I don't know, well slept and in the right type of my cycle or whatever, I'm all in.
Yeah.
And so it feels strange then to sometimes have feelings around low capacity or, you know, like people talk about low capacity days or low energy days or time management issues when sometimes I'm prolific.
Yeah.
And then other times, again, whether it be mood, cycle, you know, all the things, I suppose, I just can't do anything or I can't think straight. Like that real feeling of that brain, and I guess it's executive functioning or brain fog, or again, if you've had a rough night of sleep, you know, with a little one or stress or something, the days of write-off or so sometimes I find it hard to marry that those two things are in the same person.
Yeah. Well, it makes perfect sense to me that those two things are in the same person, because imagine if you were always prolific.
Right.
You'd be dead.
That's right. And I don't know. I mean, we've had conversations and been in each other's lives for a long time now. I don't know if I ever really land in that in terms of being at peace with that.
Yeah.
Actually it being okay. That it's always like that, what goes up must come down. Or of course we have like run and rest and it's like interval training. You wouldn't run constantly. But I think because I do feel like I'm constantly in catch-up mode or I promised all these things or I said all these things or I got all excited in the morning.
And
then at 4 p.m. I'm like, oh, my God, what have I done or said or not done? That push-pull, I think, makes it feel more frustrating or more incongruous or on those days. And for me personally, in terms of emotional capacity or like executive functioning or like task starting or overwhelm, I guess, again, I don't know what a better word of that is, but when it all just feels like fuzzy and messy in my mind, it can be quite debilitating.
Yep.
And often, and I've only again really owned this and honored this in the last kind of probably couple of years, of, say, for example, if I have to be somewhere at a certain time, but then something's happened and I don't want to let Quinny down, my kiddo, I don't want to let the person I'm trying to meet down, my co-parent called and they need something, and my mum's called, and like, and once there's like a few multiple buckets, or and I owe a, you know, a client an email response or something, multiple needs or requests, I feel like I lose all ability to prioritize.
Yeah.
Like someone messaging saying like, how are you? I love you, feels of the same importance and urgency as my kiddo standing in front of me asking for a banana. And it's like, it just becomes like this like whitewash or something. And that feels really silly sometimes. Like sometimes I have to call a friend or a support, you know, human in my life and go, I need you to tell me what order to do things.
Yeah.
Or I need you to tell me what time to leave the house to be at the netball courts in time.
Mm-hmm.
And I have actually gotten so upset and almost like screamed down the phone sometimes of like, how is that person the same person who can, you know, orchestrate some huge project or figure out the back end of a technical disaster in 2 hours. Like I just, and people always say, oh, you're such a creative genius or your ideas are so prolific or I can't believe you figured that out. I'm like, yeah. And I can't like call the, you know, call the insurance company. Like,
yeah,
it feels very strange to me, even as self-aware as I am and all the years of doing this, that they're even in the same. And so that comes back to the capacity piece around when it became the question of, you know, my co-parents also feeling the stresses of work and things and wanting to work a bit more. And then she's feeling torn up about, you know, working versus being with our kiddo.
Mm-hmm.
We had a setup where we have a day, a weekday each, and then we both work the rest of that. And so even managing each other's feelings in that, like you're a team and you both wish that you could just, I don't know, move. Well, she's a beach person. I'd be cabin in the woods, but like that you could just be with your kid all the time.
Yeah.
But we also love our jobs and love our work and need adult conversations and creative expression. Again, as we always talk about in Held, right, of like you're a whole person with a whole brain.
Yeah.
And the initial feeling when she said to me, oh, I really like a couple of hours extra a week work would be really helpful. My initial thought was, oh, great. Like, I'll just do extra time with Queenie. That's cool. I got you kind of thing. Because like my heart and my wants and my, I love hang, like, I love it.
Of course.
But then my logic brain or my starting to honor my own capacity and needs thought process was like, that could end up being very stressful for you in the long, in the bigger picture, in the actual time with Quinn. Brilliant.
Yep.
But in the shape of my week or my client work or what I'm trying to achieve or what we're all experiencing or lots of us experiencing with cash flow and economics, I was like, I don't think I can do that.
Yep.
And then I felt terrible.
Mm.
And that's, see, and I can feel it now. That's when I got really emotional of like, why is my capacity, either emotional or physical, impacts my ability to spend extra time with my child? And I just, it was just so, I found myself wishing, why do I need so much downtime or why do I need like transition time or why am I someone who can't just boom, 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 you know?
Yeah.
I shoulded and why can't I all over myself?
Yeah.
But it was like trusting that, or not trusting, but like being honest about what that actually meant. Like even 2 days in a row with her versus 2 days like split
out,
you know, or like the weekend where you do the big weekend, because I'm so in and so, and I do have people who remind me of this, of like when I'm in and present with my child, like I'm all in,
yeah,
which is a beautiful thing and I'm grateful for that being reflected to me. I get behind on everything else. You know, I'm not, I'm not a, ironically, as an ADHDer, I'm not a multitasker in that sense of if I see a message on my phone that something friend-related or work-related or other people needing something, I almost can't deal with it in tandem because once I see it or read it, like if I read a DM or an email, I want to solve it right then and there, A, because now I'm thinking about it, or B, because I'm afraid I'll forget.
Yeah.
So I just don't look, and then that barrage of, all right, it's Monday morning or the next time I'm available to not be parenting, and then I'm in catch-up mode again. So there was like a moment of honesty or like a bolt of clarity of you can't take that on right now in this season of your life, but that has an impact on Quinn.
Yeah.
But so would being stressed and broke.
Yeah.
So it's like you gotta like talk yourself around a little bit.
Yeah. And what has the biggest impact on her?
Well, my wellness and my sort of like internal stability, right?
Yeah. You being okay.
Yeah. And I need money to be okay, right?
Of course.
Annoyingly sometimes.
Yeah.
Or I need rest and downtime to be okay.
Yeah.
And that's a hard one. Like, and maybe that's part of all of those stories of like mothering of like, you know, self-sacrifice and we just go. But the more supported and rested and expressed and financially buoyant I am, the better, you know, mother and parent and person to hang out with her I am. And I know that in theory.
Yeah.
But it's hard in the time on the ground.
Hmm. Yeah, in the actual amount of hours or the.
Yeah.
For all the things, the amount of hours that you spend with her versus the amount of hours that you spend on work versus the amount of hours that you can just rest. And, you know, as we've talked about many times and earlier today, when you're a self-employed single parent, you have to really carve out the time for anything that's not motherhood or business related, which is, you know, you're taking care of you. And I think, you know, I think it's helpful to think about all of the stickers or the labels that come with, because I'm a mother, I therefore should be mothering 24/7, always focused on my kid. If I'm going to do it right, I need to be giving her as much time with me as I possibly can before she, you know, before she goes off to school, because that's what good mothers say.
Right.
I want to spend as much time with them as possible before, you know, before they go off to school. That's what good mums say, right?
Right.
Also the, you know, the mothers, women, people with ADHD are great at multitasking.
right.
those are all stories that are untrue.
Actually, you know, humans aren't.
Right, exactly. And I think mothers particularly, like we have this, that we multitask because we feel like we have to, not because we're good at it, not because it helps us, because it's part of our label. You know, we should be able to do all these things because mothers, you know, have always been able to do all of these things at the same time.
Which is actually just code for forced to.
That's right, expected to.
Yeah.
You know, the more and more things that have been added to our list as the generations have gone on and nothing's been taken off. That doesn't mean that we're our best selves when we're trying to do a million things while mothering. And so I wonder if there's an element in there of being able to take off some of those stickers and go, this is me. These are the bits that I want to keep. What I know about me is that I can only be taking care of one bucket at any given time, my kid, my business, myself. And so how can I divide up my time, being true to knowing that you're either prolific or non-producing?
Yes. Yeah.
How can I create these buckets across my week that mean that when I'm with my kid, I'm just with my kid and I can just give myself fully over to that. When I'm doing business, when I'm working, then I'm just working and I can give myself fully over to that. And when I'm resting or taking care of myself, then I can give myself fully over to that. That'll be the hardest one to give yourself fully over to, because you know, that always, as a self-employed person, it's always on your mind. There's always a list, right? There's always a list of things that need to be done, a list of people that are relying on you and wanting things from you.
Yeah.
And there's always, you know, even with mothering, right, even if your kid's not with you, even if they're with the other parent, there's still updates to be had and, you know, goodnight phone calls and, you know, all of those kinds of things to think about. But as much as possible, how do we get you those buckets that work for you? And, again, throwing out all of the bullshit about, you know, work time is this time. Like, when is it?
Yeah.
When is it for you?
Yeah.
And do you know? Do you even know, or does it have to be a bit more like sporadic between when work and when is rest? Maybe it doesn't work for you to go, okay, well, between these hours on this day is work time, because you might get there and you might have had a prolific session the night before and stayed up till 4 a.m. because you were on it and like making things happen.
Yeah.
And then you've scheduled, you know, 10 a.m. work time. And that's, you know, then actually you need to exchange. You need to exchange that bucket, because you took from the rest bucket the night before, stayed up till 4 a.m. Mm-hmm. So then, you know, switching those buckets over. But, yeah, I wonder if there's a way to schedule, like a Sarah way to schedule that means that you can feel less guilty in those times.
It's definitely that guilty feeling or that, well, I think – it's funny you say that about the trading, like the borrowing from one time to another. I think I do that, but then I still beat myself up about the trade.
Yeah. Or I also wonder if you do
like push myself.
Or you do create, like you do creative or ideas or like, you know, like you said before, creating things, making something, you do that prolific. But then if you've scheduled things that are a bit more admin-y or a bit more I want to say boring. That's what I mean, because obviously like dealing with clients isn't boring.
No, but it's like, it's the structure of running a business or converting. I think that's the thing, that converting the ideas into a thing.
Yes.
Or having being, because there's also, and this is something that I'm doing more in my work, of there's also creativity or, you know, like fun activities or games or you know, paint by numbers just for the sake of it. Like there's sort of a, well, actually that's different too. There's kind of like, there's like the rest creativity.
It's not work related.
Like brain rest, I should say.
Yeah.
That's not work related.
Mm-hmm.
My latest thing is making paper flowers. I've been making paper flowers, amazing, watching TV.
Yeah. Well, it's, that's a take care of Sarah bucket. That's a Sarah.
It is.
Sarah time bucket.
That's right. So I think in the work bit, there's the ideation or the like the solving of something, right? Mm-hmm. So, for example, even with Held, right, like there's ideas around how we're going to make this next one, you know.
So amazing.
And little things pop in, and that's exciting when ideas pop in.
Yeah.
Versus – have we booked the blah, or have we done that? Like there's like that logistical structural piece to running things versus.
There's dopamine work and there's not so much dopamine work.
The dopamine taker and the dopamine giver. Well, and maybe that's true for my business as well. There's the ideation side of things and again, solving something in my event of I had an issue with the venue. And so figuring that out. And I actually find that quite enjoyable, the figuring out.
Yeah, because it's dopamine work for you. Might not be for other people, but figuring out is dopamine work for you.
Yes. And even the figuring out the budget or like making the maths work and making sure it's going to be that mix of, you know, great for the people and but have profit and all that. Like I actually quite enjoy the nutting out of stuff. That must be part of what I do and what I do love, right, with supporting other people. So that does make sense of like, cool, let's get to the edges of this or the bottom of this, or what's the biggest, best thing it could be, and then how do we make it, you know. And then there's the practical doing of, see, even my podcasting work, I love editing podcasts. Like that's obviously why I enjoy, but making sure I know which bit's coming up next, or have I got the intro from the client to be that, like, I guess it is admin, but that logistics, I find that incredibly challenging.
Yeah.
And can be overwhelming, or I really need to be sitting down to do it, you know, checking my emails, sending invoices. I love writing off the cuff an email newsletter, but, or like a essay or something, but then the, okay, I'm going to send it out of the mailing software. And that's something I also, it's funny that we've stumbled on this, is sometimes I have like a weird, and shame is too big a word. We need like a before piece of like a kind of feeling when I have become known to an extent for, you know, the tech wizardry or the ability to figure things out, or the, you know, even with the care schedule of like popping in a spreadsheet or whatever, and things that other people think, oh my God, I could never, you know, they don't enjoy that side of things.
Yeah.
Is that then when I am stuck by a tech thing or converting an idea into a, an email thing or a website thing or whatever, or like the to-do list and the task management and all that kind of stuff, I'm a paper girl. And so people find that, like, I think sometimes, well, and there might be a story as well, people find that interesting or kind of weird of like, but it doesn't she bang on about like the best app for the job, but she can't find a task management app that works for her because of, you know, the way that her brain works. So I have like my own little internal like judgment around what I perceive I'm, what I perceive I'm being perceived for, you know, what I think that people know me for or expect from me, which is probably not even true. No one probably even cares. But it feels like it's a thing. And maybe that's that message, you know, niching and like being known for stuff versus the reality of what works for me. But again, I'm better at supporting other people in seeing it for what it is and telling the truth and being honest about what does or doesn't work for them. And it doesn't matter if it doesn't work for you. I say that like a million times a day.
Yeah.
But then don't offer myself the same grace.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's a, you know, it's hard to always practice what you preach. It's, you know, like the cabinet maker with the half finished kitchen kind of situation.
Totally.
You're the tech wizard who prefers paper and pencil.
Well, and it's funny because it's even that, like, I actually don't love tech. I love things being easier.
Yeah. You like the problem
I
solving.
Like them being pretty.
Yeah.
Like I want them to be beautiful for your customers.
Yeah.
Beautiful for you on the, like for you to actually use it, as simple and as streamlined as it can possibly be, and that you're not spending too much money.
Yeah.
It's okay to pay for the right thing, but it's got to be the right thing.
Yeah.
That's what I care about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actual technology or actual like systems in terms of how does it all – yeah, sure.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a byproduct. Yeah, so that's kind of the funny thing.
It's a side quest.
Yeah.
You need that to answer the problem or the
yeah, yeah. That's right.
To get those bonuses that you want for the person, you need the tech because that's where it lives.
Yeah, that's right. If I'm trying to make progress on some big stuff, I have to have it on a big thing.
Yeah,
to
big see piece it. Of paper. Yeah, yeah.
So. Yeah, I think in terms of those buckets, what you've touched on there with the like the mothering, the working or business having, and then the rest, like that makes sense to me, but I think it's actually more nuanced than that.
Yeah.
Because for the working businessy one, I do the ideating side really naturally.
Yeah.
To the expense of some resting sometimes.
Yeah.
And then it's the, let's call it the structural piece that I'm putting off or beating myself up about or thinking that because I might have spent a lot of time either just living my life or
in the creation side of my business, that then I might try and use up some of the rest time to do some of the business structural time because I don't have my kit.
Yeah.
So it starts to bleed and that's when that internal pressure or that self-judgment of, oh, we still haven't sent any emails, we still haven't responded to everyone. Or
And the part of the issue there is that that's often other people relying on you or you've made promises to deliver something or make contact or communicate in some way. So it's not only the structural stuff, as in it's not just an internal pressure about having to get it done. Mm. It feels like there's an external pressure about people relying on you or having expectations of you in that time. So it's almost like that bit, the structural bit, is the part that needs a time bucket.
Mm-hmm.
The other bit, the ideating bit or the creating bit, doesn't so much need a time bucket. There just needs to be some space, free spaces general, to choose from.
That makes sense.
Because, my sense is, and this has probably also come, you know, in the last couple of years for you since your ADHD diagnosis as well, is that idea of, okay, how do I, you know, there's that sense of, I guess, of freedom around, oh, well, you know, that's okay. I can try and create the environment around me so that it works for my brain.
Mm-hmm.
And then coming to this kind of almost realization now a couple of years down the track that you can't really change the environment that much.
Right.
Right, because that's on other people as well.
Yeah.
And so how do you give yourself the freedom for your brain to be able to do what it wants to be able to do, but at the same time be able to have that structure and live in that structure?
It's so funny.
In a way that works for your business.
Yeah, exactly.
And in a way that works for other people. And the world, that's right, that's right. Like, the world isn't, you get a diagnosis and you're like, oh, how amazing, now the world around me will change so that I can fit in it.
Totally.
And then that doesn't happen.
Well, especially also becoming a mother.
Yes.
So it's like,
and all at the same time within such a short amount.
And then working out and then, you know, becoming a single mother.
Yes.
And getting the, like, it was a, you know, it was a wild,
a lot of things. A wild few years.
And all partly intertwined, which, because that's, you know, they, some exacerbate the other.
Yep.
And it's, it's funny. It's like the Goldilocks of structure or the Goldilocks of scaffolding, because not enough and nowhere to be at any certain time or no appointment and a full clear schedule. Oh, how delicious. But then I wouldn't do anything. I don't do anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, and then you don't make any money.
That's right. And there's no deadlines and there's no, you know.
Yeah.
So it's actually, I mean, that's another thing that you kind of sort of beat your head against the wall a little bit around, like, cool, but don't tell me what to do.
Mm.
Even my own, you know, what is it, like demand avoidance or whatever, like, okay, well, I'm going to do all my invoicing on Mondays, and then I get to Monday, I'm like, I'm not doing what I said I was going to. Like, it's just ridiculous. It feels ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, yes, I think you're right of what's that Goldilocks of structure, of that middle ground of, like, in this zone would be good. Even like my to-do list, I changed the headings from like to-do to like this would be hot AF to get done. Just like trying to just like trick myself into like dopamine behavior. And words are so important for me around that stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, accounting, like I call it like, you know, magical money or, you know, like just and even buzzwords, especially I find in business, in self-help, even in parenting, once I hear something enough times, it stops to mean anything.
Yeah.
Like boundaries, for example.
Yeah.
Something I desperately require for myself and for my like life and my relationships and my parenting and my business. Absolutely need clear, concise, well-documented and shared boundaries. But I know that in theory, and then boundaries, oh, we all need boundaries. Oh, I need boundaries. What, do you have capacity for anything? What are boundaries? And I'm like, cool, that's like means nothing.
Mm.
So putting things in place ahead of time, you know, the structure, the scaffolding ahead of time. And what does seem to be coming to mind. I mean, it's really tricky that we've had a bit of a back and forth around what days were available at our place of like our preschool and our daycare.
Yeah, yeah.
So our schedule has changed quite a bit, like term one versus last year's term four and mm-hmm, da da. Mm-hmm. So there have been things in place where I've got, okay, Monday is my admin day. And then Monday became my care day and that completely mucked me up.
Yeah. 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 So you've had some scaffolding that's now fallen down and needs to be rebuilt.
Yes. And I think I forget. I think I forget I had scaffolding or I've had this idea or you and I have had this conversation before.
Yeah.
Or, you know, even for example, when Monday was my care day, but there was a, like we had like a play group type thing. And so we would naturally see each other or things that friendship things or business things or whatever that were just in my life or in my week mm-hmm. that were actually incredibly supportive.
Yep.
And so when they change or when something gets added or removed, more netball or less netball or some of this or some, you know, seasonal change, I completely forget
mm-hmm.
that either A, that thing was helpful and supportive.
Yeah.
Or B, this new thing has come and I haven't changed anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, made I haven't space reviewed. For it yeah. I haven't, yeah. you know. So, yeah, made space, yeah. So it definitely – I can feel myself even, like, being just in the, like, washing machine of it. Or,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The point I'm trying to get at is that we're about to head into holidays and then into term two and we've just had an update that we can get the extra day. I haven't even told you this right. yet. Right, because mm-hmm. we requested it. They said they couldn't. That's fine. So then I'm like, okay, yes, I guess. But then all that pangs of all the guilt that I'd reconciled and then we couldn't have it anyway. So it was just going to be what it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like back.
Yeah. So you were asked to do it and have her for an extra time. You said yes. Then you said actually no.
Yeah.
We went through all the feelings and then we had with that. I just said no to having my child. And then they said, oh, well, you can't have the extra day. So you said, okay, well, I'll have my child then.
Mm-hmm.
And then now they've said you can have the extra day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a yo-yo of mm-hmm. like, oh, now, but now. Oh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
A pain yo-yo.
And it was going to like stay the same. So Andrew's still going to have her day and I was going to have a day and there's lots of little swap overs and that's a pain in the ass for both mm-hmm. of us. Like mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. you're trying to make it seamless for this, you know, for this little human and she's getting older.
Yeah.
And she's starting to like express stuff around like missing the other one and she said something the other day about like something being her fault.
Oh,
and like Angela just instantly in tears because oh my god, no. You're a baby.
Could never be.
Nothing is your fault. You are like perfect. Not that perfect, but like you are you know, wonderful. And so, and again, you're just like, oh my God, what have we done? Or, you know, and again, we're doing the very best that we can. And that's what I would say to anyone else, like, you're doing the best that you can with the resources that you have or don't have. She's so loved and all of that stuff. And then it's just like, oh my God, it's a person. Like, I think sometimes parenting or when you think about having a baby, you're like, they're a baby. Like, you're in charge. But now when you're heading into that two, three, like, they talk so much earlier than I thought.
And she's so clever. Full comprehension, full understanding.
And she sees when I'm upset about something or overwhelmed. And again, I love that I'm attempting to raise an emotionally aware human and that it's okay to be stressed, it's okay to be overwhelmed, or it's okay to like get frustrated and then apologize and those kind of things. But it also means she's seeing me stressed or anxious and then going like, oh, you were right. I'm like, oh my God, I don't want you to worry about anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like resilience, I guess. I don't know. Like you want to protect them from everything.
Yeah.
But that's not helpful either, right?
No, it's not. I think just having a you know, having being able to provide her with an explanation that goes along with the very obvious emotions that she can see. You know, I think, yes, they're like for little ones to grow that sense of emotional intelligence or also knowing, you know, oh, you know, it's okay to express emotions or feel things and feel things strongly and let them out. I don't have to hold them in. Like that's what that role modeling is about. But they also need a coherent story so they understand that it's not their fault or so they understand that, you know, that you've got it, that you like, that you're in control of it.
Yeah.
And that you're doing things to feel better or feel different, or, you know, this is why I'm feeling this way and this is what I'm doing to feel better, or this is what I'm going to do to feel better,
yeah,
or to
right.
take care of myself. Or it's like an extension, I guess, of the role modeling in a way. Like, oh yes, I want my child to see that I, you know, that if I'm feeling sad or overwhelmed, that I might cry or express myself in some way.
Mm-hmm.
But then I need to, them to know the why, the wherefore, the how of it,
yeah,
in an age appropriate way. Oh yeah, you can see that I've, you know, that I've got some tears in my eyes. I'm feeling this because of this, super simple,
mm-hmm,
and I'm planning to do this. This is often that's the bit that often is missing.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever thought about that bit.
Because that's the bit, that's the learning bit, mm, for them, and it's also the learning bit for us.
Yeah, which is that, you sounds know, very
where,
helpful.
Where the term radical role modeling that I sometimes use comes from, that idea of like it's next level role modeling, because you're role modeling for your child and you go, oh, I just gave myself the answer to my problem.
Yes.
I'm going to do this bit, or, you know, I'm choosing this, or next time I will, this is that next level of, okay, what am I going to do about it? What am I going to do about it? Because we don't want, you know, we don't want our kids to go, okay, well, oh, you just, you know, you just are
yeah,
anxious, or you just are upset and you're not going to do anything about it.
Or that it's then their job.
Or that it's their job, yeah. Yeah, because if it's,
if they don't have a story,
then they make up one and it's always about them.
Or that
they're
like,
self-centered, that's how they are. That's how it works.
Yeah. Right. So either that it's their fault, or that it's about them, or that then they can fix, you know, the cuddle or the,
yeah,
like, because
yeah,
that's, because it's like beautiful empathy.
Yeah.
To be, I see that you're upset or something. I mean, I can already feel my like self-consciousness of wanting to be like, I'm not like losing my shit all the time.
Of course.
But like, but yes, that's just a like ego piece.
Yeah.
Of then, okay, and this is what we're going to do about it. Or this is, yeah, it's so interesting because I'm thinking there's one particular example where I had been overwhelmed in a morning setting, right?
Yeah.
The lunchbox, the, you know, breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on the phone to my mum. So there's a natural sense of, like we were FaceTiming and mm-hmm, it was partly to see, like say good morning, and have a connection with my kid,
mm-hmm,
and then almost in the like, okay, well, better go now kind of thing, she then asked me how I was,
right.
Which is lovely. And there was a bit bubbling there of like, well, I think I'm running late and I haven't done this and I haven't called so-and-so back and da da, and I just don't even know, or, you know, whatever it was. And so then I sort of let that out and she supported me. Okay, why don't you do this first? Okay,
mm-hmm,
good one. Great. All right, great. Okay, love you. But all right, Quinny, we're going to do this first, and did the thing and did it. But it was the next day, which blew my mind, of she came to me and said, you're upset. And I said, oh, no. Like, I was like, I'm fine. I'm like, I think I'm fine.
Didn't realize
like,
I was upset.
Am I? And then again, in like toddler language, like with Nana, like you were upset,
right?
Is what she meant.
Yeah, yesterday, like, when you were talking to Nana, you were upset.
When I was talking to Nana, I was upset, and she's like, "What? Like, what's the matter? Or what? Like," she said, "like perfect." Like I thought it was perfect. She's like, "Tell me about it," or like,
"Tell me what's wrong."
I was like, "Oh, baby, you don't have to worry." And so I was able to. I did the like, "Oh, yeah, no, you're right. I was." And yes, I was overwhelmed because I had a lot of things I had to do at once or something to that effect. But I didn't do, and I didn't even think about the like what you're saying of, and this is what we can do next, or next time I'm feeling that way, I can, you know, do this. Or
in that case, I was feeling overwhelmed because there were so many things to do, and Nana really helped me. Because Nana and I talked about what should I do first, and then when I realised that I could only do one thing at a time, that helped me to feel better.
Gotcha.
I mean, sometimes it might be,
yeah,
you know, oh, yeah, and I know that once I finish crying, I will feel better. Like, mm-hmm. It might not be doing something.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, we don't the have to release. Do something. We can just express out, oh, you know, really... can I give you a cuddle, mummy, to make you feel better? Oh, that's okay, darling. You don't need to give me a cuddle because I know that once I finish crying, I'll feel better.
Gotcha.
You don't need to give me a cuddle to make me feel better. I mean, we could then, you
that's
know, like,
a happy
you don't want to.
Like, that can be yeah, a separate.
You don't want
like,
to get into the whole thing of it. It's not your job. Or you know those things, but that could be, you know, kind of taking away from the moment.
I'm trying to parent my own inner child.
I don't need that. I don't need that from you because I'm already working
yeah.
through it.
Yeah. Like,
but actually
I've
verbalizing it.
And I love cuddles.
Yeah.
Like, two
right.
separate things.
Exactly. Exactly.
I appreciate your support and empathy and thoughtfulness. But it's, I don't, like, I've got this. I am, because I think, and that's such a nice reminder around the role modeling of seeing you do the thing and being honest about all the, like, all the challenge, you know, the working or parenting or whatever of, and this, I always get stuck on this of, like, even being a two- house household like yes. a like yes. a co-parent situation with two houses, I still have obviously pangs of upset around that of like that is that destabilizing, etc., even though I do think we do our best, but you know it's still a thing, right? And culturally is still looked at as like not great,
a failure,
yes,
failed marriage, a broken home,
yes, exactly. When in actual fact, I know deep down we are both so much happier and healthier and supporting each other. We are such a great team overall for her, for our child. And so I get all of that. And I think her seeing the truth of that is really helpful. But I think you're right. Like, I also know that she will feel as a child, right? As this, as the being,
yeah.
they need to feel like you've got this.
Mm. Yeah.
Because that's where that real core wobble comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think you're right. Like, I do worry about that, but I hadn't put those two together of you can witness the overall, you know, reality of like living a life as a parent.
Yeah.
But also remind them or indicate to them, we have still got this. We are still in charge in the non, you know, dominant sense, but like we're in charge. It's that it's not your job to worry about X.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is where the like where consistency in your routine also
yes.
comes into play for her.
That's
because
right.
that also shows that you've got this.
Yeah.
And it makes it less confusing.
Yeah.
If you know it's one less thing to be thinking about or worrying about for her.
Yeah.
Is if you have that consistency there with those, you know, with those buckets. And that,
yeah,
you know, that sometimes that will change.
Well,
or
and I think
okay
that's
to have
something
flexibility in that.
We've both spoken about and honored is that we love that we're both self-employed and, you know, we don't have immediate family in the place that we live.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a bit of flex yeah. that happens.
Yeah.
And so we have benefited from the fact that we're both fairly flexible. But maybe to the effect of that real solid rhythm, like that real,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
And so we've had those kind of conversations in the last couple of weeks. So like, right, this is what we're doing for term two and yeah. we're just going to lock it. And that's just the schedule.
Yeah.
And that will also give a sense of rhythm for all of us, but especially for Quinny. And so, again, that it's like looping all the way back around, but that's kind of that thing around the care, like the days at the preschool of like, yeah, it's just hard to figure out all of those things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe in your case, it does need to be a term by term and for all the buckets that we were talking about.
Yeah.
You know, coming back around to the yeah. position where we started, that idea that you mentioned that you don't, you know, your schedule doesn't catch up with itself or you don't catch up with the schedule when things get added
yeah.
or taken away. And so maybe, you know, month by month is probably too often, but term by term, because you have that holiday bit now, because,
yeah.
you know, she's not at school, but she's at a place where they run in terms,
yep.
then maybe working out those buckets for yourself for a term or over a term
Mm-hmm.
And that's for her as well. That gives her that sense of consistency. I know that these are the days I'm with mum, and these are the days I'm with mum, mummy and mummy daddy.
Yes.
And consistency for you. And, you know, I don't know how your brain will take that or accept that, but to say this is just for a term.
Yeah, I think that's perfect.
This is how I've laid it out for this term. And if it doesn't feel good midterm, then, you know, I've only got 5 weeks to kind of stick with this schedule, and then I can do a complete overhaul of the other buckets.
It doesn't serve anyone to feel like you're either in constant catch up or behindness, things constantly changing, even though they're not actually, but it can feel like that, theoretically, or that you're in constant review. I'm like, this isn't working, or did it, you know.
Yeah. So somewhat seasonal.
Yes.
It works with our mother's year.
Yes.
Because obviously term two is like the start of the mother's year, basically. It's like towards the end of April.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, and
it works
and winter
with,
netball
with,
and like.
Exactly, with seasonal sports.
Yeah.
And that need for like more downtime or less outward time in the winter, or like whatever, however your body works seasonally as well.
Well, it's actually really funny because that's true for me in the opposite sense of like, I've been feeling really guilty about not walking my dog as much as I need, should and want to, because it's been too bloody hot.
Yeah. So you're more of an in.
Oh, I'm like this last, like
an in quiet time in the summer. And outward in the winter, which also works if netball's a winter game, right?
But even like, and I never allow grace around that.
Mm.
Like, yeah, it's been 40 degrees for 3 days in a row. Yeah, you had a weekend inside. Fine. I'm so mean to myself. Oh, you didn't do the thing, or you didn't do this, didn't do that. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So if you're, terms only suggested terms really because of that, you know, knowing that the holiday thing you're working out, it's a kind of a, like a button to push.
Well, it's just
for planning. It's like, oh, we have to
totally
do this holiday. Oh, that's right. Well, there's another term coming. So therefore this, but also you could look at it more seasonally.
Yeah.
And
which I think
that might take
sense.
Away some of that guilt then of like, okay, it's the beginning of summer. You know, it's the beginning of summer, so therefore, or like it's starting to warm up, so therefore how am I going to take care of myself knowing that I don't like the heat, I don't like being out in the heat, how am I going to structure, you know, still getting the movement that I need, that I know my body needs, the you know, the social element that I know I need, how am I going to work that into this season or this temperature or.
Well, and that I think even with the care stuff, that it's not forever. I think, I mean, obviously, yes, you don't want to be chopping and changing the structure for Quinn either, but you could do two terms and two terms. Like you could do 6 months on 6 months, you know, that we pick this plan for now and I'm a sovereign being. I can then change it later on, or I can use this time to work in the way that I want to and also need to for, you know, economic requirements and get myself into a better position. And so then in October, I can be like, right, yes, I would like an extra day with her or whatever. But there is something of like getting a bit obsessive of, oh, well, if we drop a day now, we add a day of care now, I'll never see her again. That's it.
But also remembering that your structure isn't changing. Like you had a day a week with her before.
Yes, yes, yes.
And you still have a day a week with her.
Yes, but.
It's not you who's.
Yes, I know. The question was around, could I absorb the other day?
Yes.
That was what my thing was.
Yes.
And yes, I have feelings about her being in care versus with one of her people.
Yeah.
And the exhaustion piece. And but again, I have to be very careful to not put my shit on her around sensory overwhelm or whatever. Like maybe she loves it, you know. So
yeah, I think honestly, I think in the end, like unless she's giving you very clear indications that she's uncomfortable there or doesn't like being there, the like the structure and the consistency is actually more important in the end than what that looks like, if that makes sense.
Right. Like the active, like who and what.
Yeah. If she's going less 4 days a week to care and then she has 3 days a week with her parents, and sometimes it helps us to think of it that way, because sometimes what we think of it like is we take out the weekends.
Absolutely.
And we go, oh, she's in care 4 days a week. She's only not in care 1 day a week.
Yeah.
But there's also two other days in the week that we forget.
Yeah.
That she's with her parents, right?
Yeah.
So it's still close to half-half.
Yes.
That consistency of the rhythm of this is what I do and I go and I do my thing and, you know, and then I, you know, I get to the, because they don't really understand days of the week still yet, or like what Monday is or what Tuesday, but they can understand that if the same things always happen on that day.
Yes.
Then, you know, like my daughter would say, what day is it? And I can tell her what day it is, and she knows what that means.
Yeah.
She knows that means that she goes for a half day at kindy and then has a half day with mum, and then dad picks her up at 6, you know, like after dinner. Even though she doesn't really understand the concept of time or days or dates or whatever.
I think it's also like, and I know that we need to wrap up, but the number of nights away from you make it make sense in terms of logistics. And I know that you guys model this as well, of like what makes sense sort of, or logistical ease.
Mm.
And that means a chunk.
Yeah.
Oh, and it just kills me. And I think it's sometimes it's that, it's the real like tummy mummy vibes.
Yes.
In terms of me and Quinny, and knowing that like how much she misses me. And then sometimes she doesn't want to like jump on the phone because it's like upsetting.
Yeah.
Which I get. But it's just so hard. It's just so hard to trust that they're, you know, not trusting in that the other person is caring for them well, because definitely trusting that like their like little energetic body is okay.
It's okay. Yeah.
Because you can't really measure that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it's just hard. Like it's just hard.
It is hard. And especially when they're little.
And like, oh, shared care vibes, it's so – I find it so fascinating, because I look at some people who are parenting 24/7 a relationship or in a two-parent household, and they are exhausted and spent and struggling. As you know, we've had patches ourselves, or have witnessed so many people that we work with, that this is a healthier version overall. But then it has this other random piece that really is really hard.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we talk about that all the time, of like multiple things can be true, you know. It's just,
Yeah, the getting, and also that's there's a conditioning piece in that as well, that like as the mother, because you carried her in your body and, you know, gave birth to her and fed her from your body and, you know, were her primary caregiving parent.
Yeah.
In that earlier time, there's that sense of, well, you know, she shouldn't be away from me, or there's that, like, the umbilical cord grows longer and like, but it's not that long that, you know, that she can be away from me for 4 days in a row.
Yeah.
Even when you know that they're safe and, you know, and you guys obviously have the distance as well, which makes it's not like you can just pop around for a cuddle or, you know, because there's the, a bit more actual physical distance between where you live.
Yeah.
And our little kids don't like, they don't love the phone, even if it's a video call, often it's not.
No. And I think the transition stuff.
I can't cuddle you. I just want to give you a cuddle. Yeah. I can't connect with you through the device.
And I don't think
my kids have always rejected that.
Yeah. And I don't think just a cuddle would work for us either.
No.
She's not a. We don't love transitions. So, and I just,
And it'll change over time and, you know, with age and all those things, but it doesn't make it feel, you know.
I think
take the feelings away.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting that we're having this conversation in this exact moment, because a month ago it was different, and in a month it'll probably be quite different once we're rolling with the term two schedule.
Yeah.
And again, none of this is any shade on my my co-parent. We are, you know, a pretty excellent team of figuring stuff out together and like logistics and all that. But this immediate feeling in this last fortnight of A, trying to make that decision, and B, some sort of wobbles that have happened of Quinny being upset, like visibly and like verbally expressing herself. It's probably the first time that's really happened, I guess, because she's getting that bit older.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just really confronting.
Yeah. And it just continues to change. And
that's right.
Their needs continue to change and shift, and we can't always meet them immediately as well as, you know, our own needs. And
yeah. So I want to not forget the bit you said around, you know, something happening, acknowledge, like, because I think I'm great at the, yeah, it's really tough, you know, it called? Validating someone's feelings.
Yeah.
That's been my, like, aware parenting, like, I've just grabbed hold of that bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the second bit, either the holding a boundary of, like, no, I'm taking the, you know, the, you can't draw on the couch. I see you having trouble listening to me, but the actual then, like, okay, I'm taking it because you need some help or whatever the right. Like, see, I don't even know the second bit.
that's the second bit.
Okay, great. So then
I've
the
asked
second
you to stop. You haven't been able to stop, so I'm going to help you stop.
Yeah,
taking great. The thing.
Okay, I've been doing that a bit more, but then in terms of this, like, this feeling stuff,
yes,
or mummy needs to send an email, because this is what happened to me yesterday. We'd had, you know, it's been a long weekend, so we had a couple of days together. I was feeling great. We've had a great big time together.
Yeah.
Mummy really needs to send this email. Like, and then she was asking to play with me. And I had to be like this actually needs to happen. Like, it was a time sensitive, financially sensitive thing. Mm-hmm. I had to do the thing. And I didn't really have the language around that.
Yeah.
To be like, I know this is, you know, I know this is frustrating. I'll play with you in a second. Or I know it's like mummy has to do this thing, but not that like work is how we do. Like, I didn't have that, like, the toddler version of sometimes I'm not available to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is why you go to care, or which is why I need you to play on the floor without me for 20 minutes. Because I need to work. It's like in Bluey, isn't it? Like, why do you work? Well, so I can pay for the house or whatever it is. So it's like, this is something that mummy needs to do, like, for life.
Yeah. I mean, it's a crazy concept, isn't it, for them? Like, it's like, well, what do you mean pay for the house? I've never seen any money. Like, especially now because we're all digital.
Yeah.
But I think that, like, again, it's like, it's about how you can keep it as simple as possible.
Yeah.
And let them know that you're like, that their need is next on the list.
Yes.
Or giving them what they need before you do what you need.
Yeah.
All right, you know, let's play with the doll's house, and I'm going to set the timer, and when the timer goes off, then mummy has to go to the computer and do a piece of work, and then I'll set the timer for that as well. And then when the timer goes off again, I'll be back to play again. Or
yeah.
I think we can find ourselves over explaining.
Totally.
And I think, like, just keeping it as simple as, you know, I mean, if she asks a question, why do you have to go to work, or why do you have to do work? You know, because my client's waiting for the email, or I told them that I would send it, or to pay for the house, or whatever you think is, you know, is the most.
The timer thing's interesting, because I think I found that bit tricky of, like, I just need 5 more minutes or whatever, but, yeah, like, it was taking longer. Well, and also, and like, I was saying something and then I wasn't 2 more minutes because the thing wasn't easy or whatever I was doing.
Yeah.
So I think you're right, like, the timer piece, I actually did the timer for the first time yesterday of, we're going to finish with the iPad, like playing a game, because we're gamers now.
When the timer goes off.
When the timer goes off. And then we're going to go have dinner, I think. Oh, yeah, it was like, and then we're going to transition into like, we're going to eat together and stuff. So that was interesting. I didn't think about doing it in all directions.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
let's do this thing, this activity, this game, this play. I'm going to go and do a thing. Because even like washing and stuff, which I do it for that, of like, mummy needs to go and hang out the washing.
Yeah.
I'll be back.
Yeah.
I don't feel weird about that.
No.
But I feel weird about sitting at my computer.
Yeah. Yeah, because well, and kids don't like it when you sit at the computer. They want to make it hard for you to for you to do that bit, because when you're connected to a screen, you're not connected to them. It's the same as the phone, right? Like, you know, if you've got your phone even in your hand when you're with them, then you don't feel they don't feel properly connected
totally
to you. And it's the same, I think, when you're on the computer is different to like, I can still be connected to you and hang out the washing because I could still talk to you, or I could still,
like, well, and you isn't could come it funny, with I'm me like, and you help me. I'm doing a job.
Mm.
And maybe that's just the, if I was building a table, it's always my analogy.
Right. Yeah.
She could see I was building a table.
Yeah.
But I'm building a podcast, honey.
Or, and, you know, I think it is the difference between how much you can engage with them while you're doing that thing or not, or how much they can help you, or is that, you know, they can't help you send an email.
No.
But they can help you hang out the washing or build a table. Like, they can pass you screws or they can pass you pegs.
And you know I've always done that. In terms of, I love that. I've always been a, all right, we're picking up the rubbish.
Let's do it together. That's right.
The blocks. That's right.
And when it's an email, there isn't that.
Like, no.
You're disconnected from her and connected in here.
Yeah. Which is why I don't, I've never tried to work in care.
Yeah.
I tried, what, 1 month the first time? I'm like, oh, no.
Which is where that idea of those, you know, the buckets could be helpful.
Yeah.
So that you can avoid finding yourself in those moments of, I have to send an email.
Yeah.
You know, it was a long weekend. I'm sure that played into it.
Oh, 100%.
But like, how can you avoid those moments where you have to send an email on a care day?
Yeah.
As much as possible.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is usually true. Aside from, weird long weekend vibes and being behind. But you're right, it's being behind in the other buckets.
Yes.
The Quinn bucket is pretty great. Yep. And when I'm in that, I'm in that. I don't hold my phone. I'm actually quite cool with that.
As long as you're not behind in the other buckets.
And that, all that, just that pressure of that pinging kind of feeling.
Yeah, it's like the buckets are like you're literally holding them.
Yeah.
You know, like a water carrier,
Or
the buckets are full and they're there.
No, for the water analogy, it's like a dam, like a wall, holding the river back.
Yeah.
I'm happy to play here in the shallows with you. In fact, I quite enjoy it.
But
I'm pressure. Holding back the tsunami wave of.
So how do you in those other times when you're focusing on the other buckets build the wall so that you don't have to hold it and it's there holding itself.
Well, and it's just not, it does not as high.
Mm. Yeah.
Just a gentle stream.
If it's just swoofing past you, then you can.
That's so funny.
You can handle it.
Oh, my God, I do love a metaphor.
So to finish, tell me, what is there a need that you have recognized that you have while we've been chatting? What's a need that you didn't realize you had that you've now recognized you have, and how are you going to meet that need for yourself?
I mean, I don't know if there's any I didn't realize I needed them.
Or that have maybe been brought more to your attention or more to the focus or more to the fore.
I think probably just honoring that the schedule stuff has been a task in and of itself.
Mm.
So that's been actually taking up a lot of space, both in time and mental space. And so locking that down and it being done, which it wasn't, that, you know, like, that's okay that it's big and tricky. And then putting back into the shape of my, I realized as you were talking, again, as a society, we roll things around a week, whereas the nature of alternating weekends and shared care vibes is often that it's structured around a fortnight, 2 weeks for my American listeners. Did you know they don't use the word fortnight? It's so weird.
I did know that.
Oh, my God. I said it when I was on travel and they're like, what? across a 2-week period. And when I was like, well, I just need to put the CEO day or the, you know, the logistics bucket back into my schedule.
Yep.
Well, what about Mondays? And I was like rolling it through. I'm like, oh, maybe it can be fortnightly.
Yes.
So once in a fortnight, based on how the weekend has, because the Monday after I've had Quinny the whole time is a shit fight because it's like there's more.
Yeah.
And so I'm just like putting out spot fires as opposed to the, okay, I'm going to sit down and go through the calendar and do my invoices. And so if I did that on the Monday after I've had a weekend of rest and space, that could be quite powerful. So, yeah, the need is I need to decide when my admin zone is.
Yeah.
Based on the new schedule.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would invite you to think about dividing that fortnight up into those buckets.
Yeah.
And that admin is a separate bucket to dopamine work.
Yeah.
And maybe there's other buckets in your work as well, not just those two, but maybe you can divide and literally just do a really loose, this is what my fortnight looks like as far as buckets go. And it might be literally morning, afternoon, evening of each day gets a bucket allocated to it.
Yeah.
And if at any point you need to switch buckets, you literally do that. Like you pick up one.
Yeah.
And you move it and you swap it with another one.
It's funny because I have done that once before based on conversations with you and with my coach around the sections, especially when I had a lot of client work.
Yeah.
But I never thought about it being like you trade in and trade out, because that's actually what I'm enjoying with my new to-do list with like actual pieces and blue tack and like actually moving is – I think you're right. Having a visual representation of when you've borrowed from an area.
Yeah.
Because I think that's what I forget of like, okay, cool. That's fine if you need to do that, but that means you worked all weekend.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that, again, that's part of the netball thing of like having Saturdays basically as a exercise day or not exercise, but like an activity day.
Yeah.
Can't work if I'm out in the world. Mm-hmm. And so that's sort of a part of a deliberate, you know, forced rest, joy type thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think sitting with it all based on what's actually about to happen, because so much has changed. Winter netball started back up, sorted out the term two thing, going to go away for, you know, holidays will be a bit, you know, in and out, but that's okay. And like off we go.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're right. Then just trusting that it's been reviewed and thought about, off it goes, like that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then the flow-on effect of that is, right, now these are the spots I'm available for one-on-ones or other sort of business activities and stuff. And I have this like self-grace remembering piece so often of course you feel out of control when things are out of control.
Mm.
I'm so not nice to myself about that, of like, why can't you just get your shit together whilst things aren't clarified?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like pushing through instead of, no, it makes sense that I can't decide when I'm going to offer one-on-ones until I know what days I do or don't have my child.
Yeah, yeah.
Or what else, exactly.
Yeah. And not even just, not even just your child, just also based on like understanding yourself and what you need at different times of the day or, you know, different times of the week or different times of the fortnight.
Yeah.
What's going to actually work best from you.
Yeah. So, yeah, an invitation to look at that and just, the grace around, again, it's where we started, the grace around the capacity.
Yeah.
But looking at what the scaffolding is.
Yeah. 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 And I like that idea of laying it out in a way where you can actually literally move things around, you know, whether that's magnets or blue tacky bits or whatever.
Yeah, magnets might be a good idea. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you.
Don't appreciate this fly. Did we say we were going to finish on like a joyful thing?
Oh, yes, a joyful story.
A joyful share.
Yes. So tell me, what is something that has brought you joy or made you laugh or something that brings you back to joy?
I think because we have just had the Easter-related long weekend, and I did have extra time with Quinny. Even though I don't really subscribe to any religious stuff anymore, or even sort of traditions in general that, you know, have got questionable beginnings and endings, and yes, especially with everything going on in the world, but the stripping it right back to the joy of like hiding some stickers in the yard, right? I made little paper eggs.
Yeah.
And like colored them in and put the stickers, you know, Paw Patrol and Bluey naturally. And it was amazing, you know, and it was like, we did it on like Monday morning or something, just the nature of how it all went. So that was joyful, truly.
Yeah. Yeah.
To the point where two cute things happened. We got to the end of it and she said, "Bro, put them back in, put them back in." I was like, "What do you mean?" She gathered them all up in her little bag and then went and started throwing them back under the bushes.
Oh, hiding them again.
Hiding them again. Because she wanted to do it again.
So cute.
Heaven. Because she doesn't really care about chocolate. Mm. There's a couple of chocolate ones, but whatever.
Yeah.
She wanted the like the act of like, and I think almost hiding them for me or something. Mm. But then she then found one bush and just put them all under that one bush to be like, "Mommy, look." And then we just like put them back in the bag. It was so cute. And obviously Ange had sort of taught her on the Friday, like we say Happy Easter. Mm-hmm. Like that's what we say.
Right.
And so then every call either to me or then when she was with me calling Nana or whatever, everyone she spoke to, "Happy Easter." It was so cute. And so then on Monday night, we, you know, snuggling down for bed. She's got her own room now. So like doing the story thing, you turn the lights out. And I said, you know, did the thing of like, "Did you have a good day?" Or, well, you know, and she's like, "I love you, Mummy. Happy Easter." Just like in the middle of the night in the dark. It was
she's just like so trained.
Cute. She was like loving it. And just like, she just loved the, like the to and fro of it. Yeah, and yeah, that it yeah. elicited that, like that coziness of yeah. like, it's what we say.
Yeah. You know? Happy Easter to you too.
Oh my God. It was so cute. So it wasn't even technically Easter anymore, I don't think. And she was happy Easter. And there's just something so cute about just happy anything, like, yeah. you know, or like, yeah. "Have a good day," like from like a cute voice.
Yeah, that is a oh sweet God. Little wish.
It was so cute. Beautiful. So that was really joyful.
Love it.
Mm.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your honesty and your openness.
It's scary to talk about that stuff. It's very vulnerable.
Mm.
But hopefully helpful.
Hopefully. We can only hope.
Yes.
See you next time.
See you next time.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Held Chats. We are so deeply appreciative that you are here with us. We hope that this conversation sparks something for you, offers a reflection or an insight or some wisdom or even just some validation and support for whatever you might be going through. And as I said, I wanted to share with you a little bit more about our collaboration. If you like the sound of the way that Emma and I support each other and you also want to be held and seen and heard in that way. So Held for 2024 is running from this May to next February because we're recreating the Mother's Year. And Held is a year-long group experience co-created by, of course, Emma and myself to support, nurture and encourage creative mothers and caregivers. This is an invitation to craft an experience of motherhood and creativity that feels sustainable to you. We have co-created something that supports other creative mums just like us and just like you in a way that honors the truth of your season of parenting and supports your ideas and creativity or business offerings, because we believe that it is possible and deeply necessary to encourage and nurture your creative identity without ignoring your personal approach to motherhood and caring for others. We are so proud of this collaboration and the way that our different styles of leadership and facilitation and our different areas of expertise and training have come together in such a beautiful way. And we're offering a therapeutic approach and honest acknowledgement of what is true for you with, of course, a healthy dose of ritual and play. This is a space where all of you is welcome, truly, where your mind, your emotions and your ideas will be held and honored and supported so that you can be the human, the parent, and the creative person that you want to be. So if that is something that is interesting to you, that you are craving, please do reach out. We are welcoming in our next group of people, and it would truly be an honor to support you and to have you in that space with us. So visit heldretreats.com or, you know, link in all the linky places, or come and say hello on Instagram. Thank you for being here. Please go gently with yourself, and we'll see you next time.